months, we'll be going to Lisbon and going to an established work, but a very needed presence of apostolic presence there in Lisbon and in that part of Europe. I'm so thankful for their ministry. And at this time, I'm going to invite Brother Merritt up to the pulpit. Would you just give him a warm New Life Apostolic welcome as he comes at this time. God bless you, Brother Merritt.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Can we love the Lord one more time this morning? Amen. God, we love you. God, we worship you. God, we magnify your name. Thank you, God, for your presence. Are you thankful this morning that you feel the presence of God? Amen. I don't want to take it for granted, the moments we have in his house where we feel his presence. Amen. God is here this morning, and I'm very thankful for that. God, you're so good to us. You're so faithful to us. Thank you, God, for showing up this morning for a purpose. I know you're here for a purpose today. Oh, yes, you are. Hallelujah. I just feel this. Can we just lift our hands all over this house? Let's just love on him. Let's just entertain his presence just for a little bit. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in your own way, just love him. You can lift your voice. You can lift your hands. You can close your eyes. But just love him right now. Of the sun to the going down of the same, that name is to be exalted, that name is to be lifted up on high. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I want us to be sensitive this morning. Amen. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, to whatever God wants to do today. I want to follow God's will this morning. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what I have. I want to know, what does God have? I want to know what his plan is, what his purpose is. And I believe God's plan and purpose is miraculous today. Amen. I believe God wants to touch our hearts, our minds, our bodies. And before we leave today, I believe he's going to do that. And we can leave transformed. We can leave changed by the power of God's presence. I don't know what you need this morning, but I have a need in my life. I know we all have many needs. God's no respecter of persons. There's no need too big for God. There's no need too small for God. God can do anything. Amen? And we serve a very loving God, a very faithful Father. Amen. You've been standing. You may be seated. I understand it's weary on the legs sometimes. Amen. But those are some of the most popular words in church. You may be seated. And the second running is, you are dismissed. Amen. Praise God. But we are honored and delighted to be here in the house of God with Pastor Gilliland and his family and his new precious newborn baby boy. Amen. How precious is life? Amen. So I give honor to Pastor and his family. I love his spirit that I feel already. We've just met, of course, today. We've been communicating via text and phone call for about a week or so. But I like what I feel. I like his heart. His spirit is pure. And I might talk more about that later. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. But I believe God's going to do something special in this service today. Not because I'm here, not because you're here, but because God is here. Amen. Praise God. That is so beautiful, man. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you for your pianist and your pianist skills. Amen. I felt like having an altar call with that music. It was so beautiful. Amen. But we do have a quick video that we'd like to show you on Portugal and what is happening there. And after the video, I will briefly talk about our time in the Samoas and then what our time is going to look like in Portugal. But the bulk of my time this morning is not going to be a presentation. I'm going to minister today, if that's okay. Amen. I feel like this is a preaching church. Amen. I loved how you got behind your assistant pastor this morning, and you were preaching with him, and that was an excellent word. Man of God, thank you for that. Amen. I was taking notes, and Pastor Gilliland asked if we would like to be here in the 10 o'clock, and I said, absolutely. If I can be there and not have to pour myself out, and I can receive, I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to receive from the Word of God. And I did receive this morning, amen. And I give honor to the musicians. They did an excellent job. The young pianist over here, two young boys playing the piano. I love that. That's awesome. Amen. Very talented and anointed. And the young people on the front row here, God bless our young people. Amen. God bless our children. God bless our elders. We cannot do it without our elders, and we won't make it without the young people. Amen. And the children, they are the future. Let's enjoy this video on the nation of Portugal.
If God's still working, you still gotta be fighting for him. Praying for him. Believing that God is gonna bring them back.
And it is all about souls. Amen. Portugal is a nation of about 11 million people, and there's not a single missionary there currently. We had missionaries there over the last 50 years in and out, but there's not one there. There's a very small work started, and the Nationals, they are pastoring the works, and they are leading the work there. But there is a great need in the nation of Portugal, that far western European country sitting there on the Iberian Peninsula. About 81%, roughly, they claim to be Catholic, and there is a large majority of the Catholics that have recanted their faith, and they have simply resorted to atheism. So it's a very secular nation. It's actually not very religious in that secularism, but it's more of a worldly type secularism. And they are in great need of revival. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have a promise that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. All flesh means all flesh. Amen. North America, in Europe, amen, in Portugal, in the Samoas. So we claim that promise, we stand upon that word, and we know that God is going to give us a great harvest in these last days. We will not settle for anything less than an apostolic revival. Amen. We have that promise, and we're going to claim that promise every day. And as you are aware, my wife and I, we served in the Samoas as well. The last 4 years, we labored there. And I'm not, I guess, too prideful to say tirelessly. Amen. There is a great work there as well. And we're thankful for all the things that God has done. I would say in the last 4 years, we saw about 300 receive the Holy Ghost there in the Samoas. And about 250 baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. We are seeing this end of days revival happening all around the world. God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. We also were able to see our Bible college be revamped and restarted there in the Samoas. And we saw about 16 students come through our school. They graduated and then they fanned out across the nation. And you've got one of them right here in North America. He is serving under Pastor Parkey in Memphis, Tennessee. One of our four-year Bible graduates. And he is having revival in Memphis, Tennessee with the Samoans in Tennessee. Amen. One of our Bible school students that we invested in. We love him so much. And he's doing a great work there in Memphis with Pastor Parkey. But it's truly incredible to see what God is doing, not just in the Samoas, but all over the world. Amen. And you'll travel to the deepest parts of the world and you'll find an apostolic oneness believer tucked away somewhere right there doing a great work. And we're all a part of the puzzle, if you will. This is a global partnership. And whenever you get discouraged and you think, well, why isn't my church growing? And why aren't we seeing revival like the Bible promises us? Just step back and take in all over the world what God is doing. We're not seeing a great falling away. We're seeing a great harvest. Amen. We're seeing a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost in these last days. And I'm thankful that we can be a part of what God is doing all over the world. Amen. God is doing great things. And we are excited about Portugal. We are looking forward to going to Portugal. And I've always believed that if God opens a door, we ought to walk through it. Amen. I made a deal with God at a very young age. If you open the door, God, I'm going to walk through it. If I've got my pastor's blessing and I've got approval from my superiors, God, I'm going to walk through it. So that's what we're doing with Portugal. It's an open door and there is a great need there. So we're going to walk through that door and we're going to believe that God is going to give us great revival. Amen. Just like He did in the Samoas, God will do it in Portugal. Amen. And we are honored and delighted to serve under the Herods, the regional directors there in the European region, and Brother Burgess, the president of the work who lives in Spain, and all of the national pastors, they are so precious and so dear, and we are honored to work alongside of them. If you want to help and invest in the work in Portugal, I realize not everybody is called to go physically, but I think we're all called to impact those called to go, like we saw in the video. If you want to invest in our ministry, in the work there in Portugal, please talk to us after service. Amen. We're trying to pick up partners and raise support. We have many projects that we're trying to complete. But before you commit to anything, talk to your pastor. Amen. He is the man to talk to. I'm sure he has a vision for global giving. So if you want to invest in the work, please talk to your pastor. Please come see us after service. And we've got some goodies back there. And my wife, she is full of all the answers to all of your tough questions. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we stand this morning if you have your Bibles? We're going to go to the Word of God today. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Amen. We rejoice in all that God has been doing over the last 2 months of our deputation. We have seen many people receive the Holy Ghost, many people baptized, many people healed, many people delivered and set free. And I believe that's going to continue right here in this service today. Amen. God's going to do it. I believe it. Numbers 23, verse 19. I do feel a very heavy burden today, and I don't normally feel that. But when I do feel that, typically that means that the gifts of the Spirit are wanting to operate. And I've just become accustomed to feeling that and then the results of that. So let us be sensitive this morning if we could. Amen. The Bible says that the gifts were given to the church for the church. Amen. And they are to edify. They are to exhort. They are given to us that we can be effective and efficient in our ministering to one another. Amen. So let's be sensitive this morning. Numbers 23, verse 19. I love my wife so much. Amen. I don't want to forget my dear wife. She has been faithful, following me around the world. Amen. Met her 5 years ago on deputation. Picked up a partner in missions for life. Amen. So I love her very, very much. She is a godly woman, anointed. She's a mighty prayer warrior. And I'm thankful for her prayers and her commitment to the Lord. Bible says, Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. We could stop right there and have church. Amen. What promises has God spoken to you that you're still waiting on? Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? That, of course, is a rhetorical question. He will do it. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I want to preach to you, minister to you from the thought, God said it. Amen. God said it. Would you help me pray? You can set your Bibles down. Let's pray that God would just be in this place. I know he is, but let's pray that God would touch our hearts to receive his word this morning. God, we come before you. Lord, I pray for every hearer of the word, every man, every woman, every young person, every child that is in this room this morning. I feel a powerful anointing here today. God, let us be receptive to your word. God, remove anything out of our hearts that would keep us from receiving the word of God today. And God, help me to minister with compassion. Help me to minister with love in my heart this morning. The love that you have for these precious people today. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done in this service. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated if you're going to help me preach. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That's 100% cooperation. No telling what God's going to do through the preacher today. Amen. But Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, I believe it gives us a view into the very deepest parts of the mind of God and the heart of God. And I would say that it is the very nature of God. It's not what God does, but it's who God is, that he fulfill his promises. Amen. God is not like a man who lies. He is not wishy-washy. He is not double-minded. Whatever God says he will do, he will do it. Whatever his word says, it will come to pass. Whatever promise he has lodged in your heart, it will be fulfilled in his time and how he wants it to be fulfilled. But because of the relationship that we have with our God, there is a dependency on us to receive that word into our lives. It's not just a one-way highway. There has to be a response to the word of God. And there is a surety that I believe is bound up within God's word, and it's found within every single person in this room this morning. And that is your ability, and that is your willingness to hear the word, receive the word with gladness, and then respond to the word of God. And because of this relationship that I believe God hardwired into his creation, in relationship to the promises of God, in the sovereignty of God, in the word of God, which is seen through our freedom to choose, I believe this is one of the reasons why we don't see his word fulfilled in our lives or in our churches or in our cities or in our countries as often as we would desire. Is because far too often there is a complacency of acceptance of what God said he would do. Oh, God's not going to do that. It's not happened in the time that it should happen or the way it should happen. And I'm not making light of any situation that you're going through. I'm definitely not making light of the season of having to wait on that word to be fulfilled, but even in the middle of the season when you're waiting and it's been 5 years since God gave you that word, you still have to be faithful to the word. You still have to water that word with your praise and with your worship and with a lifted hand and a tear that's streaking down your face and a spoken word. God, I believe it, although I've not seen it. It's our responsibility to not lose hope in the word of God. I think far too often there are miracles in our wombs and there are blessings in our wombs that we have not given birth to. Not because the word of God is not powerful. Not because God's word is not true. Not because God is a liar. But because far too often we lose hope in the word of God. And if men lose hope in the word of God will have no effect in their lives. Amen. There is sometimes a disconnect in what God said he would do and our willingness, not even our willingness, but our capacity to receive it, to believe it, and then respond to it. I understand people get burnt out very quickly. I understand people can become discouraged very quickly. We can lose our faith very quickly. We can lose our hope in what God said he would do very quickly. And life is a real thing. It can beat you down. It can chew you up and spit you out on the other side. And just the other day, you were walking with faith. But today you've got no faith because of the trial that you're going through. It is real. The valley is real. But I want to encourage you today, if you're going through the valley, that does not detract from the word of God. If you can't see what's around the turn, if you're walking and you're overwhelmed with hopelessness, that does not take away from what God said he would do. The Bible tells us that Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I want to try to help us get from this level of faith to that level of faith. Whatever level you're at this morning, I would like for all of us this morning to take one step of faith in the right direction. You see, if we don't know how to receive the word, I don't believe faith can ever be generated. Yes, you've got a measure of faith that gives you the ability to believe, but I'm talking about great faith. I'm talking about miraculous faith. Faith that produces what God said he would do. There has to be a receiving of God's word into our lives. In Acts chapter 14, we find the apostle Paul. We read in verse 8, and there sat at Lystra a certain man. He was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. I want you to get this morning. This man was sitting there listening to the Apostle Paul speak. No doubt he was listening to the Apostle Paul give exhortation. And the Apostle Paul, who was the man of God, who should have discerned, which he did discern, it said that he perceived that man had faith enough to be healed. That man was sitting there hearing the word of God being preached. And I believe that man was receiving every word from the mouth of Paul, which was the word of God. And it was in that moment that faith began to rise. Faith enough that could produce what God was trying to produce in his life. And the apostle Paul understood that, and he saw that, and he said, get up, stand upright on thy feet. And the Bible says that he leaped and he walked. That is a beautiful analogy of you this morning and the word of God this morning as it goes forth and it finds that person that might be crippled in their spirit, that might be crippled in their emotions or in their mind or physically crippled in their body. If you can just receive the word this morning, if you can just open up your heart this morning, and I believe you are, but if you can try your best to rise above the circumstances and rise above the hell that you might be going through and just peek over that and say, that's the word that I need right now in my life. If you can do that, I believe faith will be released into your spirit and God will be able to do what he wants to do. Oh, somebody clap your hands. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. God is faithful. You see, faith will fall short of becoming the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, if there is not something within us that rises above everything in us that is screaming at us to question it and to doubt it. You've got to have that bulldog tenacity that just latches on to the truth of God's word and will not let go, no matter what it looks like, no matter what your friends say, no matter what the devil tries to lie to you about. What does God say? What does his word declare? My circumstances will not define me. God's word will define me. What I'm going through will not define me. God's word will define me. You've got to get a little bit angry this morning. You've got to get some determination this morning. That says it does not matter what I'm going through. What does God say about me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You are more than an overcomer. Let me show you what I'm talking about this morning. And I want you to get this today. This is very critical. This is very important to the rest of this message. The apostle Peter was standing in the boat one day, and The Bible says that there was a storm that was raging. Has anybody been in a boat lately? Yeah, over there. Amen. A real boat. I'm not talking about a proverbial boat. Amen. A real boat. And has anybody been in the middle of the ocean in a storm? All right. We've been in a little storm in the Samoas when we would go from island to island with the boat. But I can't imagine what they were going through that day. The winds and the waves. And on top of that, they saw what they thought was a spirit walking upon the water. Man, you know, when it rains, I guess. And the Bible says, in fear, they lifted their voice and cried out, saying, there is a spirit. So I want you to get this. Fear was present. And we are of the belief where fear is, faith is not working. And I would say that is partially true. But Jesus quickly spoke to them from the midst of the storm. And we always think nothing good can come from the storm. But the word came from the storm. And that word said, fear not, it is I. The word went forth, and I believe from that simple yet powerful word, Peter was able to receive it. He was able to find enough faith and enough courage to lift his trembling voice and cry out, saying, Lord, if it really be you, bid me come out upon the water. You see, the apostle Peter still did not have enough faith yet to walk upon the water. But it was the spoken word of God that he received in the moment of being overcome with fear that gave him enough boldness and enough courage to respond to the word of God. If it's really you, bid me come out upon the water. The word went forth again through the mouth of Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, come, Peter. And I believe it was at that moment that Peter, in the midst of his storm, I want you to get this morning, in the midst of uncertainty, that he fully received that word into his spirit. And it was at that moment that fear, it had to dissipate. Unbelief had to go. And the uncertainty of the situation didn't seem so uncertain anymore. It was at that moment that Peter was able to step out of the boat and walk upon the water. I want you to get this morning. I don't know the distance that the Apostle Peter had to walk from the moment that he stepped out of the boat to the moment that he got to Jesus. But from this point to that point, something happened. Because before he got to Jesus, the giver of faith, the Bible says that he began to sink in the middle of the sea. He began to sink in the middle of the sea in a storm where there are things under the water that I don't want to know about. I want you just to really give yourself a graphic image of this real story that really happened. And I think so often we as Christians were in a good Sunday service and we're sitting on the front row and we hear the word of God being preached and we're going through a difficult situation, and in that moment, we're like, oh, yeah, I think I can overcome. Okay, I hear the word. I feel boldness rising up. I feel faith is being released, and we start to respond to the word of God. And so often, because the devil is so cunning, before we open the door to our car, we start to sink in fear. We start to sink in doubt. We start to question the word. Was that word really for me? Yes, it was for you. Is God really going to do it? Yes, he will do it. Jesus reaches down. How gracious is the Lord. How faithful is God. He reaches down and he begins to pick the apostle Peter up out of the water. But I want you to see this in verse 30. As he was walking upon the water, it says, but when he saw, what are you looking at this morning? What are you focused on today? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. He just said, Lord, if it's really you bid me to come, just minutes before, I want you to get the fluidity of faith is so real. You don't have to have a spiritual resume a mile long to see a miracle happen in your life today. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see, where there is doubt, there will be fear. But where there is faith, you're always going to find the Word of God. It's the Word that overcomes fear and produces faith. In a matter of moments, the Apostle Peter, who was overcome with fear, he heard the Word. He received the Word. It produced the seed and the fruit of great faith. He stepped out of the boat, walked upon the water, got his eyes off the faith giver, began to sink in a matter of minutes. That means in this service this morning, you can receive a miracle. You can be consumed with your situation. You can be overcome with obstacles, with fear, with stress, with doubt. But that does not define you. And that does not mean that you can't leave today with a miracle happening in your life this morning. But you got to get your focus off of that. And you got to get your focus on the Word of God. And latch on to the Word. Don't let go. No matter how scary it might look, no matter what the world is trying to convince you to believe, get your eyes off of the negative. Get your eyes off the storm all around you. Get your eyes on the Word of God. Focus in on God's Word. I don't know. I don't want to know what the world says. I want to know what does God say. I don't care what the devil's saying. I want to know what does God say. And I know that God says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know that God says that if we have faith as the grain of mustard seed, we can speak to that mountain. We can speak to that situation. It must be removed. And nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. I'm trying to stretch your faith this morning. Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Come on, elders. Elders of the church, you still believe that? Nothing shall be impossible. Come on, young people, do you still believe that? Your God said that nothing, nothing shall be impossible. I want that to sink in just for a couple of seconds today. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Woo! I'm going to give God praise for a second. Your word said that nothing shall be impossible. Thank you, God, that you are the God of the impossible. He's a miracle-working God. I said he does the impossible. He picks us up out of the miry clay and he sets our feet on the rock to stay. Our God can do anything. you believe that, clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I believe there is a new season coming to this church. I said there is a new season coming to this church. You better get on board or you're going to get left behind. I'm not talking about the rapture left behind. I'm talking about the vision of this church. I'm talking about the plan of this church. I'm talking about the purpose that God has given this church through that man of God sitting on the front row. You better get on board with the vision of God or you're going to be left behind. Oh, God is looking for those that don't have it all together. But he's looking for the young people that are desperate. He's looking for the elders that are still holding on to the apostolic message. He's looking for those that will not cherry pick the word of God apart. But if it's in the word of God, I'm going to stand upon it. If God said it, I'm going to preach it. I know that God said that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God, you're faithful. God, you're good. God, your word is forever settled in heaven. God said it. God will do it. God said it. God will do it. I believe all he needs right now is for somebody to receive that word into their bruised spirit. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you can still receive the word of God, even if you have a bruised spirit. He's looking for somebody that will simply receive the pureness of God's word in their offended spirit. Oh, yes, you can still receive the word of God into your spirit, even if it's offended, even if it's bruised, even if it's hurting. Because when you receive the word as best as you can, it's then that the word can go to work. It's then that God can do what he's been trying to do for so many years. Help us, God. Oh, I feel the anointing right now so strong in this place. Could we lift our hands right where we are? Yes, Hatarabasatai. Yalabasatarabasatai. Yolobasatai. Come on, let's lift our voices. Can we do that? Can we cry out to God all together? Oh, in the name of Jesus. I believe God has been trying to birth something in this church for a very long time. And he's not going to be able to do it unless you get on board. And I'm not trying to preach to you as a pastor. I'm not your pastor. I'm going to leave the pastoring up to the pastor. But there are some people in this church that I feel very strong in my spirit. God forgive me if I overstep my bounds. And I'm talking about good people, good-hearted people that have not been able to receive the vision, the plan, the purpose that God has given to the leadership of this church. But the moment that you do that, there will be an outpouring that you've never seen before. There will be a move of God's Spirit. There will be a freedom and a liberty for the gifts to operate like we've never seen before in this local church assembly. I feel that very strong. And I know there are people here today that have been hurt. They've been bruised. Their spirit is brittle. I don't know why. I don't know what caused it. But I pray today that you can find healing. I pray today that you can find a touch in your heart that man cannot give you, but only the word of God received can do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yala bosaka yala bayasi kiyodo bosata yala basata. Yala bosaka yala bosata. This couple sitting here on the third row, I don't know who you are, on the end right here, there is an anointing upon your life, and I feel it very strong. There's a calling upon your life. I don't want to embarrass you, but I feel like you are tapping into just a piece of all that God has for you, and that's not to condemn you. That's to encourage you that there's so much more that God has planned for you, that God has destined for you. I feel that very strong in my spirit. Don't underestimate your calling. Don't underestimate your influence that God has put in your life here locally and how God is going to use you when you submit fully and totally to the call of God in your life. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Could we this morning? He is faithful. He is good. Remember in the nation of Samoa, we had a young street girl. And in Samoa, there's a lot of street kids in Samoa. And they're always trying to sell things and they're trying to make money and so they can support their families. But there was this young girl that my wife and I, we had befriended. And musicians, you can prepare. I'm almost done. But we befriended this young girl, and she started attending our church. And she had a really hard life. She had a very hard upbringing. And we could tell very early on that she was broken, and physically she was abused as well. And just hurt, you know, inside, outside. And, you know, one of those cases, and I think we've all probably seen that, hopefully not too close and too personal, but she came to our church, and no doubt it was God's goodness that drew her to his house. And we saw very early on that little Hannah, she began to respond to the word of God. And at first she was unsure of the atmosphere and the setting of our church. And she really wasn't responsive at first. But over time, over a few weeks, she was very faithful to the house of God. And she began to respond to the preaching of God's word. And she would eventually come to the altar and she would throw her hands up. And she would just cry and cry and cry and cry. And we could see that God was working something so powerful, so beautiful in her life. And at the same time, I would look around and I would see the rest of the church. And I would see those few people that still had not yet responded. And I would think to myself, oh God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do in their life? And my heart would be burdened because I knew that God had something special for them, but God could not, and he will not respond unless we respond. He will patiently wait. He will stand there and patiently wait. Yes, he'll send you a man of God, and yes, he'll send you a missionary and a preacher to preach to you, and to compel you to come, and to compel you to receive his word with gladness. But he will patiently wait until you finally come to. And that's what Hannah did one day. She came to. And she came to an altar. Y'all can get ready if you want. The pianist and the musicians, y'all can come and line up and get ready to sing. I'm almost done. But she came to an altar and lifted her hands and God baptized her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was a youth night. And she had been seeking for a very long time. But on a youth night, God filled her with the best gift that anybody could receive. And it wasn't long after that she was baptized in Jesus' name. All her sins were washed away. Why don't you put that picture on the screen, if you will? This is her right here receiving her Holy Ghost certificate. Look at that joy upon her face. The Word of God was able to find somebody that received it. Woo. That responded. That precious girl there, she is now singing in our music team. She has gone back to school getting an education. God totally transformed her life. She was able to receive the Word. It will be your response this morning that I believe will allow God to perform the miraculous in your life today. It'll be your response this morning that will allow God to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you need the Holy Ghost, God can fill you this morning.
Yes, yes, that's right.
God wants to fill you this morning. It doesn't matter if your life is falling apart, although it does. It doesn't matter if you feel like your marriage might not be where it should be, or your ministry might not be where it should be. It really doesn't matter how incomplete you might feel. God is not looking for perfect faith. He's looking for somebody in the midst of the storm, in the midst of feeling overwhelmed with fear, to listen. What does God say? I'm trying, God. Okay. Yes, I received that. It's hard, God, but I received that word. I know you're going to heal my body. I know my kids are coming home. I know you're going to give this city revival. I know you're going to bless the church. I know you're going to bless my finances. I've been praying about it, and you spoke it to me, but I ain't seen it yet. Why don't we stand this morning? It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Peter to step out of the boat. But it was a whole lot easier because he received the word. He didn't step out of the boat on his own willpower. He stepped out of the boat because he received the word of God. To open this altar up, but just feel like we need to be patient here just for a couple of seconds. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Praise God. I think it would be good if, and I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable this morning, I'm not, but I think it would be healthy we found somebody in this church that we normally don't talk to. Am I doing that right now? I guess so. And we put our arms around them and walk together down to this altar. Could we do that? Could we find somebody that maybe we don't normally connect with? And if you can't find somebody, then just find someone that you do connect with on a regular basis and maybe take them by the hand and just say, hey, would you like to go to the altar and pray? Amen. I believe God wants to do something special in this service this morning. In the name of Jesus, thank you so much. This is beautiful. Thank you for responding. You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Oh, yes, God. As you are coming to this altar, I want you to receive these words from the Lord. God said, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. God said, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. Your God said that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Come on, that's it, that's it. Let's pray for our brother. Let's pray for our sister. Your God said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Your God said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you touch the hearts and the minds of these precious people that are in this room this morning.